The Master of Ballantrae by Robert Louis Stevenson. Dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest. With Jimmy Chisholm as James Dury, Alistair McCrone as Henry Dury, and Robert Patterson as McKellar. The Master of Ballantrae.
Dead, are you? Dead at last?
Mr. Henry, sir.
Laughing in hell.
Mr. Henry!
I'll follow you there.
What's that black devil up to?
Where you are, there I'll be. Because you were never dead. Never. Time and again.
Something damn sacrilegious here.
I've seen your corpse cold before.
Mr. McKellar!
Between two silver candlesticks.
Come away, sir, please.
But you were never dead. Never. Time and again. And there. Look. See.
God's sake.
See?
The dead man was James Dury?
It was James that was buried there, yes.
Brother of your employer, Henry Dury.
Yes.
Who cursed and blasphemed at his brother's grave.
His nerves have been near breaking for some time.
And the black man?
Oh, Secundra Dass, a servant, I think, of James.
Think
that their relations with each other are obscure.
Obscure, you say? Indeed so. Since the sacrilegious hound seemed to be trying to revive the corpse after it had lain buried a week. One more corpse among the many that litter the paths of those damned Scots brothers of yours. And the report I must write will not be obscure. It will be lucid, detailed, and full. So, begin, Mr. McKellar.
It's not easy for me, Sir William.
Begin.
But it's family matters.
Damn your clannish reticence. I'm a soldier, Mr. McKellar, a soldier and a diplomat. I came into this wilderness to counsel peace and moderation among the Iroquois. Your Lord Durrisdeer, your Henry Dury, begged to join my company for simple curiosity, I was told. And then I find he has a brother out here with another party, a party of rogues and cutthroats, every one of whom merited the gallows, and all but two of whom are now dead and scalped. One of the survivors is your pagan sorcerer, who's as dumb as a lump of coal. The other's a rascal named John Mountain, who gives us nothing but evasion and gibberish. So it's you who must tell the story. I demand an explanation, Mr. McKellar, as my superiors will demand my report.
Sir William...
I demand it.
It's a long story.
Well, we're likely to be under canvas here for some days, until this weather eases. How long have you been in America?
I arrived in New York in July.
But your employer, Henry Dury, was there before. I know, because I saw him there.
Yes, I had business to attend to in Scotland, then I followed.
Alone?
No. With the Master.
Master?
The brother, James. It's a family title he holds. The Master of Ballantrae.
Oh, brother Henry, how grand you've grown in your colonial hall.
You might have crossed an ocean to torment me, but you'll not cross my doorstep again.
It was a stormy journey, was it not, McKellar?
It was a tate blusterous.
A tate blusterous?
I'm glad to see you again, Mr. McKellar.
Oh, effusive.
To see you both.
Gracious of you to say so. And I'm not here to torment you, rather to make you a proposition.
It is I who will propose. You have a choice. I'll pay your passage back to Scotland, or anywhere you name, or stay here and welcome.
Gracious again.
I've inquired the least sum on which body and soul can be held together here. You can have it, paid weekly.
And generous too.
But you will not come within 100 yards of my children. You will not so much as salute my wife.
How is the lovely Alison? I'm sure she didn't give up expecting me.
It might be wise, my lord, forgive my boldness, but it might be wise to listen to what your brother has to say.
Don't you worry yourself, McKellar. My brother's reputation's here before him. Tonight, in this very room, will be gathered over 30 magnates of the province, including the governor. Not one, I assure you, but will commend me for showing him disdain.
Because they do not know you're my younger brother, that you're a thief and a perjurer, that I am the true Lord Durrisdeer.
A title you forfeited... As a rebel to your king.
The fall of chance, Henry, lad.
And no matter how often you turn your coat, it won't hide your cloven hoof.
Gracious, generous, and grandiose.
Choose.
Shall we toss a coin for
Choose.
It? Choose. Oh, I'll stay and take your pittance, Henry, since it's as rightly mine as the shirt on your back. And you, McKellar, you must choose too. Will you still give your service to this boastful skinflint, or will you join me in honest adventure?
Honest?
I mean simply trust to our own character and wit, not to hoarded money and stolen title.
Leave my house now, and you need not return.
McKellar.
Your allowance will be delivered to you. Mr. McKellar.
Can you doubt me, my lord? I stay where my duty is, with you.
So what have we here? A fairy tale for children? Two brothers, a disputed title.
A winter's tale, and not for children.
Your Lord Durrisdeer, he strikes me as a...
He's had much to bear, Sir William, unmerited, cruel, but on this occasion I do believe he was in the wrong.
That you felt it your duty to stay with him in New York?
More than duty. But I was given sound advice some years ago that it's a wise thing to build a bridge of gold to a flying enemy.
You think he should have given more to be rid of his brother?
Aye, and I told him that. Told his wife the same thing.
Don't you think he's given enough, Mr. McKellar?
But for yourself, Mrs. Henry, no one knows more than I what he's given, what's been sucked from him like blood. But I also know how much more wickedness that man means.
We have strong friends here.
The stoutest friend can find a lie convincing, if it's subtle enough. The lie itself might be gross, absurd, but if it's told with all the enemy's cunning and finesse...
He still has that, I must say. Carries himself still like quite the chevalier. I watched from the corridor.
Good morning to you. What news I have.
You're a formidable tribe, Mr.
Do you know what he's done, the madman?
But who's done, Henry?
What other madman do we know? James. He's set himself up as a tailor.
A tailor?
A mender of rags. He's found himself a rickety old boardhouse in the poorest quarter of town. And in there he sits, stitching away.
Who told you this?
I saw myself. Crouched in there with his legs crossed, stitching away.
You went there, my lord?
He has a black man with him.
Secundra Das, an Indian servant of sorts, or the master's shadow.
He has him doing goldsmith work.
Well, why did you go there, Henry?
Stumbled upon him by chance. Ah, but what a picture. The master of Ballantrae mending slum dwellers' breeches.
Sir, can you not see?
See what? What?
Your brother makes a public spectacle of himself.
He does.
With malice.
In the hope that some of the disgrace will spatter on me.
Yes.
As a public reproach of his brother's meanness.
Yes.
I know that.
You know?
Of course. It's obvious. Not subtle. Not worthy of him.
Sir, your powerful friends in this town. Have them run him off or pay him to go.
No. No, not this time. I told you I was glad to see you both. You and him. I meant it. There's a long score to settle. This time, he loses.
You've put on weight, Henry. You see, they're torn at the knee here, these breeches. All the family thriving, are they?
You'll never know how well.
It's the boy that concerns me.
None concerns you.
July 57 he was born, that's right?
Concentrate on your trade, Mr. Seven.
A malleable age for boys. Is that right, Mr. McKellar?
So, Henry, we were due at the stables 10 minutes.
And I know how you'll raise him. To take delight in a well-grown turnip and count his pennies.
I'll raise him to be Lord Durrisdeer.
But a boy needs colour in his life, Henry. And the man could colour that mind. My tales of battles and banners, the scented cities of India, the wild woods of this new land of his. You know, I've been here before.
And you were a piratical fugitive. A price in your fleeing head.
When I buried treasure.
You what?
A glittering treasure. And only I know where it is stashed. In the Adirondack Mountains. Well, that's giving little away, since those hills are a spacious wilderness.
Any treasure you stole is long since squandered. Burke told McKellar so.
Oh, you believe what that Irish fool pretends to know. The treasure's there, and it's mine, so you can't grudge me that.
You're mad.
No. This is the perfectly sane proposition I spoke of. If you finance my expedition there, I'll dig up my fortune and be off to Paris or Rome and never insult you or your wife or that good lady's son again.
I'll see you in hell first.
Calmly, my lord.
Mend these, if you want an extra farthing from me. And understand this. These are your streets, these docklands and hovels. Venture out to my spacious lands or those of my friends, and you'll pay dearly. Come along, McKellar. We're going to look at that stallion for my son. Come along.
He's not right in the head, McKellar.
It's true about the treasure, isn't it?
You know it is. The Adirondacks, land of snow and gold.
Then
what?
I have some money laid by at home in Scotland.
Some?
Near £500.
Well, no.
The economies of a hard life. But I could have a letter go out by the next ship, and if you have the patience to wait for the return...
No, no, I admire your fidelity. As a prize, Secundra's to me, but it's my brother must pay.
Why won't you leave him alone? Why won't you go?
I would gladly go, but on one condition.
Name it.
My brother must beg it on his knees. with his wife looking on, and the boy too, of course.
Oh, this harping on the boy.
Every Eden has its Eve. Every paradise is perishable.
And you are the serpent, already hissing on the trail.
Enough of metaphors. I offer you documentary evidence. I know how you like matters formally noted and tabled. Here it is. And McKellar, if you don't share this with your lord, there are, I assure you, copies.
It matters little to me.
But he revels in it. His own humiliation, it's a weapon for him.
A feeble one. I must refrain from discussing needlework with my friends. A small wound.
You hear, McKellar? He loses.
And the children?
They're beyond him.
They know he's a poor, addle-brained member of the family. To be pitied, not feared, but certainly avoided.
If they ride past him, may they not throw him a coin or two?
My lord!
He's joking, McKellar. But I do wish you wouldn't go near him, Henry.
It gives me pleasure to see him so low.
Not a wholesome pleasure.
Nor a Christian one.
How can it be unchristian to break that spirit?
My lord, may I speak boldly?
Of course.
With you alone.
That is bold.
Forgive me, my lady.
It's all right. I have to look in on the chaos in the kitchen. You remember the governor is to be here tonight?
Yes, yes.
We must simply be as we are, Mr. McKellar. As strong as we are. The master and his black shadow will find the winter in New York too cold.
Well, am I to hear more of your fretting about my impotent brother?
He gave me something to read yesterday, after you left.
Indeed.
I have it here. It's a pamphlet, one amongst a batch that arrived on a recent ship.
Well, let's see. Although you should know by now what I think of such hired scandalmongers.
Quite right, sir. It's the usual party scurrility. Idle, lying rantings from a Whig lackey scribbling for his supper.
This one scribbles about indulgency to Jacobites.
I show it to you only to let you see how your brother's mind is working, that he at least still fancies himself dangerous.
What's this? Notorious rebel to have his title restored.
It's nonsense,
but it
sir.
Names him, all but names him, the M of B, and his brother is known to be no better in inclination. Lord D.R., the supposed heir...
My lord...
Supposed heir, Alexander, to be set aside.
It's inconceivable, sir.
Son to be set aside.
The authorities cannot and would not do such a thing, but it shows your brother still means mischief. He insisted, you see.
Mischief to lay hands on my son, who, it says here, has been bred up in the most detestable principles.
Pay him, my lord. Pay him to go and look for his buried treasure. Pay him to go.
Never. I'll kill him first. I'll see him in hell first.
Then let me pay him.
What?
I have money laid by in Scotland.
Ah, to hell with your money. It's your service I demand. Your loyal service.
Which you know you have.
Do I? Do I? Oh, not every score can be settled on your balance sheet. Can you understand that, McKellar? Can you? Or is it only money you understand? Do you love only money? Love it beyond all else?
I do not love money. I fear old age and poverty, which I'm sure you'll agree is a different matter.
I do, of course, Mr. McKellar. I, however, do love brandy. And I think we'll both need a glass for the rest of your story. Will you take a dram, is it?
More properly applied to whiskey, sir, but yes, I'll take one, thank you.
It sounds to me as if Lord Durrisdeer was, not entirely in his right mind.
No, he was not.
And not if he could even half believe some Grub Street hack.
Not if he could have dealings with a villain like Captain James Harris.
Lord Durrisdeer dealt with Harris, the rogue who led his brother's party north. Then why?
I cannot be sure, but the air smelt of blood to me.
There has certainly been blood. Six men murdered and scalped. James Durie himself dead of fever, we're told. Perhaps we should take a rest now. Continue later.
No. I'll go on. As you say, my lord seemed not altogether in his right mind. And I confess, that's a fear I'd had for some time. A fear that deepened when he announced he was travelling north himself.
After Harris's party and his brother.
To Albany, he said, to join your expedition. Into the same bad territory. For a change of scene, he said. A change of scene. And in Albany, he seemed more than disturbed in his mind. Began to look like downright insanity. And his habits...
His habits?
Far too convivial.
Bairns together. Happy, happy bairns together. Who'd have thought it? Fishing down there. What's that place? A little below Eagles. The burn runs very deep down there.
Very deep under the rounds. Oh. Jamie's drowned. Jamie's drowned. All the way home I run shouting across the fields. Jamie's drowned. And then when I bring my father and McConaughey and John Paul all the way back to the place where Jamie had drowned, I saw him drown. I saw him. There he is. Smiling away. Casting his line and asking, what's the matter? I don't think he has the dying in him, that boy. That man. Are you asleep, McKellar?
How could I be?
I'm having terrible trouble with this shoe, McKellar. Would you help me off with the shoe?
It's after midnight.
The most hospitable crowd, these Albany folk. Rough-edged, for sure. But as friendly as Scotsmen. You're homesick, McKellar.
I am, but I'm never maudlin drunk.
True. Old sorrows do this to me.
And recent potations.
Potations, eh? That's a most McKellar word, that. Potations.
My lord, why are we in Albany?
It's very late, McKellar. After midnight, I shouldn't wonder. And to meet Sir William Johnston in the morning. So if you have nothing else to say, I think I'll sleep now. If you have nothing else to say...
Your brother is with Captain Harris, is he not? They've gone after the treasure, and Harris is a killer. He's a known killer.
Treasure doesn't matter. It's a question of inheritance. My son's title.
Is that it, then? James Durie was their gull, their guide and their victim. He was to find the treasure for them and then be murdered, and his own brother planned it.
And yet it was the assassins themselves who died. You say they were all scalped?
That's right.
Was it expertly done?
It's not a nicely particular operation, Mr. McKellar.
Yeah, but your men who found the bodies, were they of the opinion that it was the work of the Iroquois?
Well, who else? The only two who survived, Secundra, Das, and Mountain, were terrified they'd be next. And Durie himself was already... Mr. McKellar, are you afraid of this master of Ballantrae? Even now, when he's dead and...
I'll always fear him. I'd admire him too, God help me. Hell may have noble flames.
Damn it, McKellar, the man's buried, and he was no devil, only a man whose corpse I saw and touched.
So did I. More than once. I think we chose the wrong starting point, Sir William. Maybe we need to go back centuries to find the roots of all this. There have been Duries in the southwest of Scotland since the days of David I. The Duries of Durrisdeer and Ballantrae, a noble family. But 20 years ago, in 1945, when Prince Charlie landed at Glenfinnan...
No prince, a pretender and a rebel.
By then... there were only four in the house. The old Lord Durrisdeer and his two sons, James and Henry, and an orphan cousin of theirs, Alison Graham, who was betrothed to James.
To James?
Aye. Always a lass of spirit, they say, and self-willed, Miss Alison Graham.
It's the noblest cause. We can't sit at home and let it pass us by.
And would you put on the white cockade yourself, Alison?
Oh, you know I would.
We're not living in an old ballad.
But who's to say there won't be one sung about us?
I can just see you mounted on your milk-white steed.
Oh, enough of these romantic blethers. We've a decision to make.
Indeed we have. And I think we all know what it must be. So let's make it calmly.
One goes to the prince... the other stays here.
And I write letters of loyalty to King John.
And I ride by the true king's bridle.
You? Why you?
It should be the younger who goes.
No, it should be the direct heir.
Think it through. We're trying to save the house of Durrisdeer. We must think it through.
Think this through. If you go, James, and the prince's expedition fails, what happens then?
What happens is Henry becomes Lord Durrisdeer. You see? I put all I have on the table.
This is no card game. It's the family that's at stake.
And isn't it plain I'm more made for the battlefield than Henry? You all know I'm no manager. If I stay, I could have the estates in ruin inside a month. No dissent, Henry. You have an excellent gift for silence.
I am the younger. I should go. But I leave it to our father to decide.
No.
No? You'd defy your father.
Not defy. Save him the burden of decision. We'll leave it to chance.
Chance?
Here, a guinea piece. Will you go or stay by this?
No!
Yes.
Henry!
Heads, I go. Shield, I stay.
This is no way to settle such a...
Durrisdeer! Catch it, brother.
shield. I stay.
And me? What of me, James? Where's your heart in this?
I could not love you, dear, so well loved I not honor more.
Oh, you have no heart. You're all vanity and rashness.
My, you'll make me a devil of a wife. Worth fighting home for.
But will I be here? Will we decide that by the toss of a coin? The same one. Decide our love by this.
Do you mind that day, John Paul? That day when the demented Bism picked up yon guinea piece?
Aye. And flung it clean through the great window.
Through the painted family shield, no less.
And then ran wi'r breaking heart to the hall.
Breaking pride mair like.
And I mind the next day, you know. The bonny maester rode to the north.
Bonny richt enough. All decked out like a prick me dainty.
With a dozen brave boys he'd rallied.
Scraped together with threats and bribes.
And every heart with a white cockade.
Every man as foo as a puggy.
Singing their hearts out.
Roaring foo. And that decent boy left a hint to hood the house together.
Aye. To go skulking after the Lord President with a mooching letter for English Geordie.
And the other two. The old feather and the sulking lassie. They had nae a richt appreciation for Mr. Henry at all.
Oh, hard to appreciate yon long dour face when they had brave James in their hearts. And my, but yon was a grieving hoose for the bonny laddie of war.
Well, it was a damn sick quieter anyway.
It's my deepest regret that we parted with such...
He'd know it was fear for him, born of love.
That made me carry on like a spoiled lassie. Yes, and I'm ashamed of it.
You stitched the cockade in his head.
I could hardly see the needle.
Aye. John Paul told me it was wet with tears when you carried it down to him.
And that smile when he set it on his head. Had he forgiven me, do you think?
That was a promise in his eyes, I'm sure. To return to you.
Is there any news, Henry? Hmm?
They should cross into England any day now.
And James?
He does well, they say.
Could we doubt it?
At the true king's bridal.
Father, the oak wood on Semple's land, he's made us an offer for it. A very acceptable offer, I think. Father.
What's that?
Semple's oak wood. It would bring us some handy capital.
At the king's bridal, eh?
You see, I plan more shrubbery here. Rhododendron, laburnum.
Yes.
They've set off the lawns more strikingly.
I'm sure.
And pleasant to walk through. Neatly laid out gravel paths. Because it won't be cheap. Money is always as tight. But I think it would be worth the expense and effort.
And here's the bide at Hame Lordy, winching his ain brother's lassie.
But Jessie, what are you doing here?
I'm gathering kindling. Does Durrus Deer grudge me even that?
Of course not.
Look, it grudges me my blood money.
Blood money?
Aye, there's things I could tell you, Hame, about your gentry here. Would put years
Jessie,
on
you. Jessie, take what would you like and get home.
Hame, is it? And when will the bonny maester come home? And what'll he fun when he gets
Jesse.
Here? But he'll sort the lot of you with my bro, young Jamie, because he's rising high with sword and cockade, and the good prince is smiling on
him. Jesse Broon, half for you.
Aye, and here's another Judas.
Half like a whip at your boozy limmer.
Jamie will sort you.
Half before I leather you senseless.
The maester will be back. Back in glory.
Oh, she's at the bottle like gin before she stirs her perch in the morning.
All right, McConaughey.
And before she feeds her bairn.
McConaughey.
Oh. Aye. Right, good day to you, Mr. Henry. Miss Graham.
Who is this Jessie Broon?
She's from St. Bride.
Has she a husband?
No.
But she has a child.
A daughter.
And you pay her...
We'll give her some little assistance. It's a kind of pension. There was a time... she was a decent lass at one time.
Hmm. I see.
It has to be said... The campaign does not go well.
There's time yet.
They're in retreat.
They'll turn again. If the prince listens less to the likes of old Lord Murray, this bold counsel he needs, bold young counsel.
Aye. James would have been all for going on, no doubt.
No choice, surely, without English support.
What could lose us this war is too much caution and too little passion.
I believe you're right, Alison. There's a time for prudence. But a time, too, when we must put it to the touch to win or lose it all.
If only the coin was right, then. To send a bold son forth? Or do you still regret it's your favourite that might win or lose it all?
Henry!
You mustn't talk so to your...
John Paul. What is it?
Speak up, John Paul. What's the matter?
I found the guinea piece just this morning.
Guinea piece?
It was lodged in a holly bush.
Well, do you have it there?
McConaughey took it from me. He's a vat of ale, who's made.
It's not likely to be much change then.
Which lamentable stuff.
Yes, well, perhaps so, John Paul, but it's hardly worth your...
What? Well, that was this morning, sir. I found the guinea piece and just knew Tom McMorland's at the door.
McMorland? Wasn't he with...
Aye. He rode with the maester. He rode with the maester and the prince to a hellish place, the Cry Culloden. And knew he's back. And there's an angel ride behind him.
My son.
They're all butchered.
No.
My son. No.
Much stronger now. It's good to see you even smile again.
Thank you, cousin.
You flourish like this new spring.
You're kind. But the poetic touch, it doesn't suit you, Henry.
No, I'm sorry.
Don't be. I know your kindness is true, but be yourself.
Yes. Oh, see, the window in the Great Hall, there's a man in St. Bride's says he can make it like new.
Now you are yourself.
You'd leave it as it is. It is a year since... I know how you loved him.
And I know how...
What?
That you couldn't help but betray him in your heart. It's time it should be said, Henry, to clear it away.
It's true. I've always... Oh, it was lost love on both sides. Yours for him, mine for you.
We won't mention it again. Nor the broken window.
He does very well, managing the business.
Like he was born to it.
The other, God rest him, had no head for the finance.
Well, the land is deeply mortgaged.
Yes?
Henry's told me. He entertains me with such items on our walks together.
He's not one for the prettier talk. But he does delight in your company. And you're happy in his?
It's pleasant. My lord...
Yes?
You have stood in the place of both my parents.
And that you should call me father would be an honor and a joy.
Well, the fortune my father made from his trade and his estate in New York, rich farmland that I'm told yields, it can all be for Durrisdeer.
You mean as an untied gift? No, Alison. We can't have that. An old man's honor wouldn't allow it. And even if I could consent... You know, Henry would be bound to refuse.
I know where you'd lead me, but there's a simple truth means I can't follow. I don't love your son. I have loved the other, and that... Well, that is all.
Alison. Daughter. Our hearts have been broken. But the pieces that remain, even if the kind of love you had for my son isn't among them... Should we not remake what we can from those pieces?
The debts are twice what I imagined. But what I'd like to do is hire a steward, someone with a straight head and an eye for details. Details like farthings. That is out of the question just now.
I have many, many farthings.
What do you mean?
The New York estate. It brings in hundreds of farthings every year. And the capital my father left, hundreds more.
You know I can't accept your charity.
That's not what I offer.
You mean a tied arrangement? On a reasoned and proper footing?
I suppose that is what I mean.
Oh, then yes.
Good. I accept.
Accept?
But you have to understand I love you only as a cousin. As a brother, maybe. But I'm a bone-bred Judy Henry. I'll go a long way for the glory of Durrisdeer. A house that is in need of an heir.
Dear God.
I thought next June. That'd be a clear 2 years since his death. Reasoned and proper enough?
You're like a labyrinth.
Well, here's the clue to find your way out. If you still want me, you can have me. Right. Next June it is.
So in June it was settled. A mirthless day that was.
There's no mirth in you, John Paul. I know I had a dram or twa through the young lord.
The elder and true maester, Deacon Claudin Moore.
True maester? This place is hoaching with dafties. Who was the fond of their bonny maester when he was diddling and dunting him, I can tell you that.
Can it be denied me, Sir James? It was a touch in the wild side.
Wild side? He did deal in him.
But he'd have grown into a Durrisdeer lord of grace and dignity. The inward goods are dignity, self-dignity, meanness.
He must be up to gear a bit rumble anyway, since there's a bairnie due now 8 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if you had to tie that nippy doxy to the bed.
Oh, less of your foul talk.
Nay, mayor of your tight arse slanders. Mr. Henry's an honest maester and a good man, as you'll find out, Mr. McKellar. You all right, sir?
I have never heard such from servants. How can you dare?
Oh, good day to you, Mr. Henry.
Sir, Mr. McKellar.
Yes, sir?
I'm sorry I wasn't here to greet you. I had business in St. Bride's. I hope these two gentlemen have made you welcome.
Oh, you've had a bit natter, sir, and there's no doubt this man will make you a grand steward, sir.
Yeah, my father has taken his afternoon rest. He'll be happy to see you at dinner.
Very good, sir.
My wife, I regret, is indisposed. But, as you see, all the deeds, tables and accounts of the estate are here. Perhaps if you're not overtired from your journey, we could begin right away and go through them.
I'd like nothing better.
An exacting but fair master. His supervision shrewd. All that's plain enough to say, but how do you explain the effect of an infinity of small things? The story in his look, the message in his voice, and Mrs. Henry, married to my troubled master, but still with that constancy to the dead. She cherished it like a martyrdom, it seemed to me. Even after that daughter was born, Catherine, in February 49, even then she
Mr.
was...
Mr. McKellar.
Yes?
This was when, did you say? When you arrived at Durrisdeer?
December 48. A mighty dry day of frost.
You did not join the juries until the end of 48?
That's right.
Then how can you be sure the roots of the conflict are as you suggest? Your account, forgive me, is it not based largely on partisan gossip and rumour?
I am scrupulous with the facts, Sir William, and I do believe I could read Mr. Henry. As before too long, he could read me.
I wonder if you can guess what I'm thinking, Mr. McKellar.
Are you maybe admiring the work you've done on the gardens and lawns? Because I'm just reading here that it costs a revenue to keep them up. Half of it would do much to restore some balance to our accounts.
Oh, I'm admiring that ship that's moored down there in the bay.
Mm-hmm. Not much to admire there. Free traders, no doubt. Smugglers. And barely an inch between them and pirates.
I was thinking it might be something to ride for a while with lawless companions. Mr. McKellar, I think I should tell you.
Yes, sir?
That you do very well here. Your stewardship is most commendable.
Thank you, sir.
And I wonder if I might trouble you to do a little service that is perhaps a bit out of the way of your usual duties.
So was this he sent me? A long-faced, square-tied message boy of middling years?
Would you be so kind, Miss Green, as to call off your mongrel?
Will you take a drappy, Mr. Square-Tease?
No, I'll take a receipt for the money I gave you and be gone.
You be like the wee lord of the saint. You concern me nothing but your pocket.
I'm concerned at the moment about the hems of my trousers, which this beast's like to have in shreds. Let go, let go.
The wee darling hasn't taken real to you right enough.
Would you give me that receipt before the wee darling's through to my bone?
And do you know what it's for, your receipt?
It's not my business to know.
Blood money's what it's for. Blood money for a lassie betrayed and left with a hungry bairn. Look what I'm brought down to.
I see well what to... Get off!
The Judas, the damn Judas, that strutting lord he is. But it would be changed days. Changed days if the rightful maester was back again. But he's dead. Dead as a hero, the bonny laddie. Oh, the wee pet, did the bad man hurt the wee pet?
Receipt.
My God, but you got a temper in you tea, old squirties.
She was once a decent lass, Mr. McKellar.
That is maybe.
And she has some cause for her... You see, she was carelessly used, shall we say, by...
That I have deduced, by one no longer here to pay her. But whatever she once was, she now has no sobriety and no economy.
She has suffered, McKellar.
So have the ankles of your messenger.
Your ankles?
Mr. Henry, sir, you hear a visitor.
Who is it?
Oh, you'll know Gay's name.
What?
Is he mun speak directly with you, sir?
Not without a name, he won't.
1,000 apologies and more, sir. But as soon as I sent your man in, I regretted my uncouth caution about the name, for I'm sure a gentleman like yourself is truly in his heart of the honest party.
You may be sure that, at least, anyone of that party is safe in Durrisdeer.
The very thought, sir, that came to me outside your door there, after I'd been insulting enough to withhold my name, which is Francis Burke, Colonel Francis Burke. And I've just been set ashore by a very honest man who will stand off and on for me till morning at some risk to himself and some to me.
Henry, we have a visitor, I hear.
Yes, Father, Colonel Francis Burke.
My Lord Durrisdeer, no doubt.
That is correct.
And this, I know, must be the radiant Miss Allison, of whom I've so often heard.
I am Mrs. Henry Jury.
Is that so?
Before my marriage, I was Alison Graham.
Indeed. Well, now, I have here 3 letters, 1 for each of you, from that chivalrous man, James Jury, the master of Ballantrae.
My son?
Your son, my lord, and my good friend and noble comrade, who writes to you all from the fine city
my
of Paris.
Son is alive!
Alive and thriving, sir. At this very hour, I'll wager he's drawing in his chair to a
splendid...
Dearly now, I do believe the lady's fainted. I have to say, I took him for a phantom at first. That was a week after Culloden, where it was certain knowledge he had died. But there he was, a horseman, topping a hill.
He was alone.
Indeed he was, and he had the air of a gentleman out for his morning ride, and not a Jacobite fugitive with a death sentence on him, which is what both of us were. 3 days it took us to find the sea lock we'd had named to us, and there the ship was, ready to take us as far from Scotland as we cared to go, which, you'll understand, was very far. Within the hour we sailed.
What ship was she?
The Santa Marie des Anges.
But wasn't she to wait for others of the party, including the prince himself?
But as soon as the captain heard the news of Culloden, he'd do no other than cut his cable and be off.
You gave him that news?
I regret we did, but without a word spoken, he read it in our faces.
James wasn't one to let a look give him away.
But there was myself, Mrs. Henry, as you can see, a plain, readable Irish fellow. Not that we were on that unfortunate ship very long. 10 days at the most before we were taken by Teach.
Teach? A pirate?
A very Satan of a pirate.
And my ship's called Hell.
A demented brute and butcher.
Teach does not chew tobacco. He chews glass because he loves the taste of his own blood. What do you think? Teacher's blood tastes of white face.
It would be rum, I would think.
Oh, would you think that, my trembling paddy? Why don't you kiss old Teach and suffer yourself?
Captain Teach?
Aye.
You say you're Satan.
Well, that I am, Gentleman Jock.
And that your ship is hell.
A salty, burning, bloody hell.
Then here's a willing devil for you. James Jury, at your service. My son became part of a pirate crew.
It was that or walk the plank, sir. 10 months we were on her, and a floating bedlam she was, commanded by a lunatic. 10 months at sea, and the only supplies we had were those we took from the ships we overhauled.
You took part in such horrors.
And your son, it would seem.
Over we go, my darling demons.
Again, as I say, we had no choice.
Come on now, Fenton Francie. Over you go. Over you go and slit some English throats.
But sure, this is no company to be unveiling the memoirs of a pirate, even an unwilling one like me, who freely confesses he scraped favour with those tattooed savages by base buffoonery and the help of a fiddle, the only instrument I have some talent for.
And my brother...
Ah, now, Ballantrae was entirely different. Always the dignity and distance.
There are double words for everything.
A gentleman like that must everywhere be first, even aboard a criminal ship.
Double words like demon and drunkard. But you strike me, Mr. Dutton, as one of the more sober and able men on this ship.
I know my trade, if that's what you mean.
But does our trade do as well as it could?
What are you getting at?
Do you admire our captain?
There's no one like Teach.
No, that's true. But can he find the ships to board?
We've taken our share.
Like the one he sent us after yesterday, which only I could see was a king's ship, and whose pursuing sails I wouldn't be at all surprised we'll see again when the sun comes up.
We'll outrun her.
Maybe so. And I understand the thrill of the chase, but I'm not in this trade for the fun of it, and I've no ambition to hang. I want to make my money and go ashore and spend it like a man.
He must everywhere be first.
So I ask again,
is our Satan a wise and able captain?
And before too long, Teach was no more than a bogeyman, a figurehead, and Ballantrae was truly in command. Mm. But he'll no doubt tell you all this himself, with more eloquence in his letters to you.
No, less eloquently, I'd say, and certainly less detail.
May I help myself to one more glass of this Chardonnay, as fine as any I tasted in Paris?
Was it France you landed?
No, America.
America?
It was in that direction Teach had taken us, and by the time we were so foul with no choice but to find port, oh, it was a swampy wilderness of America we were in, and there we made our escape.
How did you accomplish that?
Oh, it's too long to tell, sir. It involves swamps and rapid rivers and Indians and white trappers as savage as any red man. Suffice it to say, your brother, sir, and your son, my lord, is by far the most capable man I ever met with, the one of the most natural genius, which is why it was a sorrow to me when we lost each other's way and I took him for dead. I'd no doubt he must be dead. So it was an astonished Francis Burke who walked into that gracious salon in Paris 2 months ago, and there, strolling to meet me, was my bold phantom.
Well, now, here's a delight. Colonel Francis Burke, and better dressed since I last saw him. But my, Francie, I think you need another glass of wine. You're as pale as you were on that hellish ship.
It's very late, Colonel Burke.
Twice we found women on board.
Oh, and my brother was pirate captain.
Aye, we'd have been beaten back, I'm sure, but for Ballantrae spurring us on.
Born leader, indeed.
Aye, indeed, indeed. And me, I had to be three-fourths drunk to go through with it.
We're well on the way to the fourth quarter now. My wife and father are long in bed. I think we should follow them.
Did I tell you how our friendship was sealed?
No, maybe in the morning.
We had a choice to make, you see. Both of us brave and ingenious, so we could help each other. But also both known faces, so double chance of recognition, see? Choice to be made, and up steps Ballantrae with a silver coin between finger and thumb. Spin this for it, he says, like in a ballad jury, like in a legend. Now, is that not romantic? Is that not highly chivalrous? And there was romance.
Now, Francie, your turn with her.
And she's fiddle and Francie rather than ball.
You must, Francis.
The lady's begging for you. Listen to her.
They'll kill you if you don't.
You ain't shy, are you?
Do it, Francis.
Francis. Francis, I'd ask myself, how did you come to this?
You tossed a coin for it. And I'm for bed. Good night. Oh, McKellar, didn't hear you come in.
I thought perhaps I'd escort Colonel Burke to his room.
Yes, yes, please do that. Good night, McKellar.
Good night, sir. Colonel Burke.
There were four of us. Just enough and not too many.
Four of you?
Escaped from that barnacled madhouse with all our treasure.
Treasure?
Aye. 2 years of taking stood among the four of us and off into those hellish swamplands. Me and Ballantrae and Dutton and Grady split four ways. We'd all live easy forever. Then Grady died of fever, split three ways, even better. Then Dutton, he stepped into quicksand.
Oh, help me, for God's sake, Ballantrae, help me!
You shouldn't struggle. You'll go down quicker if you struggle.
Oh, get me out of this or I'll blast you.
Oh, put down the gun, man. Now stay still. Stay where you are, Francis. I'll take care. Right, now, Dutton, reach out to me.
Can't reach. Oh, Christ, come closer.
I can't do that. I'm up to my calves already. Reach out, man.
I can't.
The gun. Use the gun. Reach with it, that's it. A little more. Ready?
Damn you! Damn you to hell, you bastard!
For sure, you'll be there before me.
Christ! Christ, no! Have mercy, man!
That I will. I wouldn't see you drown slow in that muck. Is that not what you wanted, Francis?
God, Ballantrae, what are you?
You still have a tremor on you, Francis. Want another rum?
Oh, all I want is home.
Have a rum anyway. Help you sleep off that shaking.
Ireland, God bless her. No quicksands there.
No snakes either, they tell me.
Much family there?
A loving host of them. And to think my mother knows I was alive a week after Culloden and nothing since.
My tribe don't know as much as that.
You didn't write.
It suits me to be dead, for a while at least. An experiment. Is there a brother among that loving host?
Five, and every one a hero.
I have the one, as unheroic a plodder who ever brooded over a column of figures. And we have a choice to make.
And what's that?
Tomorrow, we should strike the river that Dutton pointed us to before his sad and muddy end. Do we follow it north or south? And here is the arbitrator. Heads or shield? You call.
Ah, the good man's there, trusty soul.
Jury?
For the honest and true cause, Mr.
McKellar. And it's money the master wants, so his brother tells me.
Does he indeed?
I have to wonder why we must support a man who has a treasure of his own.
I told you that, did I?
You did.
Well, all spent and gambled, we must suppose, or given away.
He told me also last night that he murdered the man Dutton.
Your hospitality loosened my tongue right enough. And since you show such intelligent interest, and since I'm unlikely to see you again, I'll tell you this. When I woke the morning after the incident with Dutton, Ballantrae was gone. And so was his and Dutton's and Grady's share of the treasure.
And you carry letters for him?
He's a most persuasive and influential gentleman. And I'll give you a last piece of advice, which is an old soldier's proverb. It's a good thing to build a bridge of gold to a flying enemy. Now, good day to you, Mr. Mac, whatever it is.
Mr. McKellar, my brother's keeper.
7 years? This went on for 7 years?
Every few months there would be a letter from Paris demanding some ridiculous amount. He was bleeding Durst ear dry.
And Henry always paid.
First I thought, he does this for her sake. Now that they knew the master was alive, this man...
He'd buy his absence.
He'd show who was the more generous. That's what he told me.
Pride, not generosity.
My very worst to him. And anyway, who was he showing it to? Because it soon became clear his wife didn't know what was going on. In fact, they were hardly together except at meals. But she did find out. In 56, when we were close to bankruptcy...
He finally told her.
No, I did.
Oh, this is too much. Already the stables are almost emptied. Servants have been discharged, and they have the whole countryside muttering against us. And now you tell me the trip to Edinburgh is cancelled. Too much.
We cannot afford it.
We? It is not your money, Mr. McKellar. It is my husband's and mine.
It is your husband's decision. And do you not know where his money goes? Including the money for the wine he doesn't drink at your table. To Paris. To his brother. In 7 years, that man has had £8,000 from us.
Eight? But that's impossible. The estate couldn't bear that. And how could I not know? Oh, that man.
Aye.
Why can he not be open with his own wife?
That man is a noble gentleman. And if you see him so little at meals and in passing while he has this secret burden...
Mr. McKellar, you go too far. I can assure you, my husband... A marriage is not so easy to read as an account book.
Of course. Forgive me, I...
It's all right. You've done properly. The master is... God, he was always thoughtless, but his heart is excellent. However, I'll write to him. After I speak to my noble husband, the leeching will stop.
Thank you, madam.
You never met him, did you, Mr. McKellar?
No.
Then the master you have in your imagination, I'm sure, that isn't the real James.
Still, she couldn't see that the ground of all our troubles was her brooding on another man. I think sometimes there's a devil in women.
We can be thankful at times for that devilment.
Thankful? That's beyond me, Sir William.
But he's costed it, down to every farthing, haven't you, Mr. McKellar?
Now the Paris outlay's at an end. Could be done.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it should be done.
You hear? It can be done.
But as McKellar says...
McKellar thinks it must be done.
McKellar thinks what?
Oh, he doesn't dare to say it, but that's what he thinks. Ask him.
Mr. McKellar. Well, if we begin with the proposed renewal of the stable furnishings...
Exactly where I'd begin. We should be ashamed to ride into St. Bride's in that milking cart, never mind to Edinburgh. And we must have a new pair to draw us.
A new pair?
Oh, can't you see us, Henry? You and I smiling out on the smoothest ride to the city we've ever had. Our daughter well looked after, consciences clear, not a penny Frenched away from us.
Alison, as if he were a shallow boy or an uncle and a miser.
You never married, Mr. McKellar.
I never regretted it. I could never trust the female sex, nor understand them.
Which of us does?
The master, perhaps. I've thought that women are no mystery and no threat to a man like him.
Mr. McKellar, my brother's keeper.
Secrets are open to him. You know my name?
You could be no other than Ephraim McKellar. We've never met, but I could have predicted those clerical clothes you wear, foretold the way you carry yourself, the sensible studdiness of those shoes on your feet, and how unsmiling you'd be. No sorcery, all deduced from your handwriting in those precise and impersonal, but somehow eloquent letters you wrote me. But you've a most bamboozled and haunted look on you this evening. Was it someone else you came down here to meet?
I didn't come down to meet anyone. I was walking, I saw the beacon, the boat.
And me?
The master of Ballantrae.
We recognize each other. McKellar confused, Ballantrae come home.
To see you again at this table, it is like a resurrection.
My deepest regret is that I had no way to warn you all that my time in the grave would be limited.
We know of your awful misfortunes after Culloden.
From my letters.
And more from your friend, Colonel Burke.
Ah, Francis. A good soul, but he embroiders.
Certainly he added much colour to your account.
He looks for the romantic in all things.
Even in piracy? And murder?
But here is romance and parable. You, Henry, you have played the elder brother of the story with good sense and generosity. And now here is the man compelled by disaster to play the younger. We must welcome his return as we are instructed.
And the only fatted calf I'm looking for is some little funds to take me to India.
India? More wanderings?
Well, the French are still poised to do well there, and I'm in a position to do well with the French. Father, forgive me if I don't speak in parables, but plainly so that we all understand each other. I do plan to try India, so I won't disturb your new lives here for long. Henry, all is yours. That's beyond question, and I grudge it not a bit.
Now, is that not royal, Henry?
And as for my queenly cousin, Alison, now I can offer her my love as a brother. But if you'll excuse me, I have a terrible weariness on me and think I'll get to my bed. Good night to you all.
James.
Good night, my boy.
Sister.
Welcome home. From the dead.
When I received your last unbrotherly letter, I knew I had to come home and set things to rights.
And I knew you would. I've already asked McKellar about the Auchterhall land. The entail could be broken.
Ah, and there's the marred symbolic window where the fateful coin went through. Still unmended.
My wife thought it would be...
Sacrilegious?
She thought it best to leave it as it is.
I know. I was with her first thing this morning. She told me you'd wanted to make things like new. But then I can understand how uneasy you must have been. You must have thought yourself to have only the name and shadow of things, no substance to your rights.
James, if you think there's any doubt as to that, then we can let a court decide.
A court? Oh, you mean the title, the estate? Yes. You were about to say the Auchterhall land?
The entail could be broken, now that the family is so reduced. Auchterhall could be alienated, sold.
Ah.
It might raise enough to finance your Indian adventure.
My, you sound quite the businessman. But then, even as a boy when I was pirate or prince, you played the little estate manager.
And you should realize this game of yours may ruin the estate. McKellar says it's madness. It's certainly an injustice to my son, if I ever have one.
Not very likely, is it? I mean, your daughter was born when? Early in 49, and here we are getting on for 8 years later and nothing else. Hmm? Nothing at all.
Oh, and there he is. There's my bonnie Jamie.
Oh, dear God.
My bonnie maester come home. Home for the bloody moor of Culloden. Home for the deeds.
Do you let this hag roam the grounds?
You'd best go home, Jessie.
Go and look at him. Just let me touch his face once more.
Get away with you.
What?
You were never bonny, Jessie, but my God, you are pickled now.
Go home, Jessie. Please.
Get off our land.
What's this? Would the baithies lift your horns to me? She's wit. I see it now. I was blind, but I see it now. Yous are bestials. Twa in the one family, Christ help us. That's what yous are. Satan's ain twa sons.
I want rid of the bitch, McKellar. I can't move from the house, but she's there, shouting and snivelling. See to it for me, would you? Mr. McKellar?
That is a dirty errand, sir, and such are not part of my duties.
Your notion of your duties intrigues me. It seems you transact everything in this house at your own time, to your own fancy.
And never a farthing challenge?
No, it's you who challenges. Who challenges the sale of the Ochter Hall land?
It would be financial lunacy. Has Mr. Henry not suffered enough from you?
Oh, bold Mr. McKellar. But who has suffered, hmm? It is I who's lost fortune and title and mistress. But then maybe all's not lost forever. Ah, Henry. I'd ask you to have this insolent man discharged, but I see how you two are of one mind against me. Two stuck, buzzing flies.
Maybe we'll soon be rid of our spider.
You mean you might be stung enough to denounce me to my father? I wonder. I always loved experiment. Which reminds me, I have an appointment to walk with your lovely daughter. And the fox fur her mother wears in this icy weather frames her face exquisitely, don't you think? Good day to you, gentlemen.
Be patient, McKellar.
Did you ever see the prince again, after Culloden?
No, he's in Italy now, I hear, and Rome's a place I'd like to see.
To kiss his hand again.
Yes, and you will, I know it. That cause can never be lost.
Not while Scotland has spirits like yours.
Henry, wouldn't you like to travel as James has?
To captain a pirate ship has never been an ambition of mine.
Why so ungracious? You know he had no choice.
I know he travels freely. He moves about this country with an incaution strange in a Jacobite with a price in his head. He seems to consider Jesse Broun the greatest threat to his safety.
Well, what are you hinting at? Be open.
At first I thought the government had gone sound asleep. Until I received this letter.
Letter from whom?
From a high place. The name is unnecessary. But he says here, let me see. Yes. After saying we should keep this understanding secret in the interests of the government and King George, that is, he says, Ballantrae is as safe in Great Britain as yourself.
What does this mean?
It means my brother is no defender of his prince's cause.
Did you write asking for this assurance, Henry?
Yes, I did.
Dear God.
When I watched you strut around like no fugitive, and when I discovered you arrived here from England, not France, as you led us to believe.
We can only hope you've done no harm to the subterfuge.
Oh, subterfuge?
Yes, Father. And I beg your forgiveness if I've caused you needless fear. You see, Henry, not all battles are fought with drums and banners. There are games and there are double games.
Ah, I see.
And I'm sorry, Alison, if these deceptions seem less than romantic, but I assure you, if the prince ever raises his standard in Scotland again, and the dangerous game I play might help bring that about, then I will be welcome at his bridal again.
You hear, Henry? You must go more carefully.
Oh, please, don't rebuke him, Father.
Rebuke me?
It's only that these are subtle matters, Henry. Best left alone by those not used to the depths.
Damn you! Damn you to hell!
Henry, please!
Let him go, James.
God forgive me for causing such dissension in this house.
I've thought sometimes that man could corrupt an angel. When I'd watch Miss Catherine climb on his knee and prattle to him, and he'd prattle back like a child himself, and then give out that smile of his over her head.
Baiting her father.
And the smile was for the mother.
Ah.
But why could she not see, not understand how it tortured her husband?
You think she didn't?
People married and estranged. Are there any so far apart?
But she and the master were not far apart.
Well, they were often together.
Always with the daughter?
Not always.
And Henry knew that?
He knew. The master made sure he knew.
You're a nimble player, Alison. A rare thing in Scotland.
Well, the French do things differently.
And again, there can be like a dance, a minuet, perhaps, then rising to something more sprightly.
I fear I'd stumble in such elegant company.
Not at all. You'd shine, and not only at the cards. You would grace the loftiest house in Paris.
Paris. What do you think, Henry? Someday?
The Ochter Hall land has been sold.
Since that announcement heralds serious talk, I shall retire. You three gentlemen may finish the game. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Henry, you positively drive your lady away, which may suit you two tradesmen, but her absence makes this Scottish game less bearable for me.
As I say, the Ochterhall land has been sold.
At much below its value, quite shockingly below.
So you may go when you wish, and find company more to your liking.
It's your turn to play, brother.
I said the land has been sold. You may take your money and leave when it suits you.
It might suit me to linger a while, if only to see if you ever play a card with some imagination. You're a dull player, Henry. You thump down every loser with all the aplomb of a bonnet layer.
When will you leave?
Like a clodpole or like a sailor in a tavern.
Gentlemen.
Except you refuse to gamble.
It's after midnight, gentlemen.
I said, when will you leave?
Why this impatience to see the back of your only brother? You used to have a great fund of patience.
Yes, far too much.
And do you despise yourself for that?
What?
Mr. Henry?
But Mr. McKellar's right. It's late. We'll continue the game another time. But, No. You mustn't despise yourself, Henry. I was only teasing about the clodpole. You're a true gentleman. You're the very essence of a gentleman. Even if it can't be denied, you do fall short on the ornamental.
Don't touch me! Now, touch me!
Oh, come now. Looks and grace aren't everything. Look at me. All the beauty and the elegance of the family fell to me, and look at the sorrow I've had in my life. Every woman preferred me, but did it save me from misery, poverty, betrayal? Of course not. Any woman you care to name loved me first, and still I lost all. Even if the woman you name continues to love me. Even then, all that matters was stolen from me.
No, no.
He struck me. Struck me who won't take a blow from God Almighty.
Mr. Henry, please. For God's sake, no, this can't be.
These are swords, Henry, not foils. I know you're a fencer, you can hold a foil, but these are different. I'll kill you with one of these.
Choose!
I will not allow this, I will not. Shame upon you both.
One more interfering word from you, and I'll cut you from neck to giblets.
Mr. Henry.
Don't interfere, McKellar. We'll have to go out of the house.
This one will show us the way, won't you, McKellar? Now take up a pair of candles and lead us out.
I'd set the candles down in a clearing, in the midst of frosted trees. The flames went up as steady as in a chamber. There wasn't a breath stirring, a windless stricture of frost. It bound the very air. The ground was creaking underfoot. And in the steady shine of the candles, the blackness was like a roof above their heads, the black, bare heads of the brothers. One, I'd never been afraid of him before. Who'd have thought he had such ferocity in him? And the other, I'd never seen the man so beautiful. But I'm no judge of swordplay. Besides, my head was gone with cold and fear and horror. I saw the light gleam first in the eyes of one, and then in the eyes of the other. But I'm no judge. I couldn't seize every detail of the moves, pressing forward, retreating, weaving and circling. So I don't know. I still don't know if it was... Was it? Was it a foul stroke?
Dear God, no. This'll ruin us all. Look at his left hand.
What?
His left hand. On the inside.
But it's all blood.
On the inside.
Mr. Henry.
On the inside.
Yes, all over.
He knew it. He tried to grab a blade. He did. When he knew he was lost.
Mr. Henry, you've killed him.
Killed him? You sure?
Yes.
You're really sure he's dead?
I'm sure. Your brother is dead.
He showed me his face. A strange, stupid stare. And then he let fall his sword. Went off towards the house with a stumbling run. For a few moments, I couldn't move. The candlelight, the silver trees, the corpse. Then I ran after him. I found him in the great hall. He was pouring brandy. I gulped one down with him while he kept saying, "The old man must be told. Who's to tell the old man?" The words knocked at my heart. But I took the duty on me. Although first I went to his lady's room. Went in without so much as a knock. "We must be brave," I said. And she smiled.
I am brave.
It's come to a duel.
Things have been borne too long, things you know nothing about, and tonight you were insulted.
Insulted? By whom?
By whom? Oh, madam, I'll tell you no more till you answer that question yourself.
And he has killed Henry?
It's the master who's dead.
Oh. I will go to him.
To your husband?
I will go to my husband.
And she did go down, alone, finding her way in the dark, while I went into the old man's room. In his nightshirt, without his wig, he looked bloodless and frail and little, like a wrinkled boy. But when he knew it all, he was out of bed and pushing me aside and running to the window.
The candles that they put out, they might be seen from the road. We must think of the... My son is dead.
The other two is your son.
Don't dare to say that to me.
Someone must dare to tell you how you've been abused and deceived by a devil who tonight insulted his brother's wife.
I will hear nothing against my daughter.
I don't speak against her, but against that lying man you so blindly favor. That man who's been feeding slanders and taunts to Mr. Henry, who is... He's...
Your tears do you honor. Me, they do shame. But those candles might be seen. Go down now and put them out.
So down I went, and out into the garden again, in among the trees. And again, in the clearing, I was paralyzed. The silence made my ears ache. The candles were still burning. They lit the bloodstain on the frost. And there she was, as still as one of the frozen trees. And she had the bloody sword in her hand.
Where is he?
Here. He was here.
Not now.
Why are you here?
He must not have been dead.
He felt his heart. It didn't beat and there wasn't a breath. He was dead.
He couldn't have been.
I was sure.
No? Are you sure now?
Why aren't you not with your husband?
He won't speak to me.
Did you try? Forgive me.
Oh, I suppose you have a right to doubt me. This is the sword Henry used?
Yes.
Then I'd best take it into the house and clean it.
It may snow before morning.
It will.
We must hope so.
I could smell it. The scene will be entirely white before morning.
Good.
Semple knew it this afternoon.
But knew what?
That it would snow. Oh. He was already bringing in his sheep. He's a nurse to those sheep, Semple.
Mr. McKellar, even if you were wrong, and pray God you were wrong, if my son is alive, he couldn't have walked away from there.
No. Someone carried him away.
Who?
The free traders.
Yes, the same villains that brought him here.
And that's our weakness. They know.
That's a threat we must live under. But the whole country knows he arrived here without warning after dark in that company.
And we now put out that he left the same way.
Yes, we must smother all the scandal we can. It's the house, the family, including your daughter, Alison, and her inheritance that we must think of first.
Oh, could you have been wrong?
There was no breathing, and I felt his heart.
I felt the hilt of my sword ring on his breastbone.
I should say, my lord, I took the liberty of examining the master's luggage. There was a great deal of correspondence, including copies of his reports to the English secretary and originals of the secretary's replies. A most damning scene.
Well, he told us that was a ploy in the prince's cause.
But if you read the papers, my lady...
You have them there?
Yes.
Give them to me.
I hope I haven't overstepped, my lord.
I know your devotion to my family, Mr. McKellar.
I thought if the master is alive, then these papers...
Alive?
The papers would be a protection.
Of course he's alive. He can't be killed. And where I am, there he'll be.
Well, we know he was right about that, at least. His brother was alive. Mr. McKellar. I think there's something more, is there not? Something crucial that you haven't yet told me?
A confession? There's more to confess.
And is it something I'd be bound to include in my report?
There wasn't a word for 7 years. In the first 9 months, the old Lord Durrisdeer died, and a son, Alexander, was born.
Oh, that can be a healing thing.
But Mr. Henry was changed. Entirely, dangerously changed.
Our son, Mr. McKellar. A new beginning.
Oh, he is that. A grand, healthy one by the look of him.
Henry, will you hold him?
Not yet. Soon. When he's stronger.
I wish your father could be here to see him, so that all could be...
What?
I don't know. Accepted, forgiven.
Oh, I forgave him long ago.
Forgave him?
Isn't that what you meant?
You can't mean he should forgive me, since I didn't, after all, kill the son he favoured. Am I not right?
Yes. Yes, of course you're right.
Of course I am. So let's have no more brooding on the past. And now I'm going to see how the new planting is coming on. That'll be a fine thing, won't it, Mackellar? My son's grown, so will the trees. A splendid new wood. Splendid new apple and birch for my son.
Sometimes I feel I have three children in my care. Miss Catherine, Alexander, and... Well, so be it. I'm female enough for them all.
She sounds a formidable woman, Lady Alison. From the night of the duel, she was wife, mother, and protector to Mr. Henry, whatever she'd been before. And he took all her devotion as his due. He'd become the haunted and bitter man you met. His only joy was in the boy. By the time he was 6 years old enough to ramble the grounds with his father, that's all the father was content to do.
I believe they've gone nesting.
Nesting?
Well, they helped me with the weeding here for a while, but it's dull work for boys, eh, Mr. Mackellar? Were you content to hoe and rake when you were a lad?
It was never required of me. My desire for study was always indulged.
Of course.
But some indulgences, my lady, I...
Yes? What is it? Did you want to speak to my husband?
Well, I...
About indulgence? His towards his son?
You see it too?
Of course I see it. He's my husband and Alexander is my son.
Only yesterday I saw them in the clearing where the... And he was telling Alexander that he'd fought the devil there.
That is extravagant. But if he's painting James as the devil...
One of the devil's titles, my lady, is the tempter.
So it is.
And if he comes back...
It's unlikely.
But if he does, and all we have against him is those papers, his reports to the government...
I burned those years ago.
They were our only sword against him.
A sword of paper, Mr. Mackellar. James doesn't value reputation as you do, as this family does. He knows we'd rather die than make that treason public. He certainly knows I would.
But that...
Calmly now. We have another shield against him. The family itself. The strength of our marriage, which I'm doing all I can to make deep. Do you understand?
I can see her. One of those female smiles that her face was bright and moist. She rubbed her palm down the side of her skirt. Did I suspect even then? Did I know?
What did you suspect?
What is in men's hearts?
Mr. Mackellar?
She didn't work only in the garden. She took part in all the household duties. And not only because there were fewer servants about the place than in the past. I think she needed to be sure that all was as it should be, that her husband would find nothing amiss. One morning in March this year, I came downstairs just at dawn, wondering what she'd be about today. I heard footsteps in the hall and went in. The supper things were still on the table. The shutters were still closed. The great room was lit by one taper and a low fire.
Worthy Mackellar, good morning to you. John Paul is seeing to breakfast for my friend and me, so you needn't trouble yourself. Yes, good fellow, let some light in so I can have a proper look at the place.
So I can have a look at you. You're getting old.
If you could see yourself, you might not dwell on that topic.
Old age means nothing to me. But the lines on your brow are calamities.
Oh, no evangelicals this early in the morning, please.
It would seem evil hasn't prospered.
Evil?
You even have the black dog blatant at your heel. Sotan
gead mion kine yasla. Njitani adveshwasiha. Utnihi niras pi. This is Secundra Das, Mr. Mackellar. A most proper and intelligent gentleman of India. You should attempt a voyage there yourself. It's vast, rich, scented, invigorating.
And yet you return with your boots patched by some unscrupulous country cobbler.
Ah, now that is well done. You read my clothes as I once read yours. But I wonder, is your heart as steady as your voice?
That was in March this year. Inside 2 days, the family had fled.
Fled?
Well, abandoned the master, see? To leave him adrift, to leave him stranded in poverty, humiliation.
And because they still feared him?
I think, my lady, I think she was afraid that
Mr. Henry's health and reason were not yet sound enough to withstand his brother's insinuation. And I was left in charge of the estate, the finances, the house. All the keys were in my hands.
So, a peer of the realm flees from me under cloud of night, from the house where his family has stood many sieges. He conceals his address, he spirits his wife and children away from his own brother. Am I so formidable?
Less so than before, which is why you have bed and board here, and the run of the cellar.
Still well stocked, is it?
Reasonably so, I'm told. And you have the use of a saddle horse.
No pocket money, Uncle.
There was no allowance made, but I'll take it on myself to see you're supplied in moderation.
McKellar takes it on himself. And I must say, you carry it well. Even with a certain humour in your eye. Dignity, loyalty, to a family not worthy of you.
Not worthy?
My brother neglects his wife. She treats him like a simpleton. Both connive at the spoiling of a child, and all run from the truth.
I cannot regard you as an authority on truth.
You deny what I've said. They even say the man's more deranged than simple. And he leaves the good McKellar to face all alone.
Slanders.
If so, it's you who spreads the poison.
I?
You say nothing, but you give all away. Just as you will give away their whereabouts.
Never.
Have you ever broken a bone, Sir William?
Yes, when I was a boy, falling from a horse.
Then you felt the hands of a bone setter. Their artfulness, the subtle way they divide and interrogate the muscles, then settle strongly on the injured place. And all's well. All feels well. It was like that with the master's eyes and with his tongue.
I don't understand.
Nor do I. But the next 3 weeks were in some ways the most singular chapter of my life. He'd need the horse or a bottle or some money, and he'd come to me like a schoolboy. Now, after that first cold look at him in the dawn light, I could see how lightly the years had dealt with him. He'd changed, of course, but he bore the change handsomely. He was well equipped to play the errant, forgivable youth. And dour old McKellar would become his father and forgive him. He went out very seldom, refused, to my certain knowledge, several invitations. Rather stay in with McKellar, he'd say. Share a bottle, have a good talk. And they were good talks. The best I ever had. And however cunning and deceitful he was, there was one thing I didn't doubt. I still don't doubt it. The devil had grown fond of me.
Do you know what I wish, McKellar of the steady eye?
What do you wish, James of the drumming fingers?
Well, how one's own thoughts can surprise. But here it is, and God help me, but it's true. I wish you and I had met when we were young. I take it you have been young.
I've never been a reckless libertine, if that's what you mean.
And if we had met then, what might I be now?
Much as you are, I imagine.
Do you really think so? I mean, truly, McKellar, give me that steady gaze of yours and answer me this. If you'd fallen in with me, is it not conceivable that you might be as strong now on my side as accident and custom have put you on my brother's?
I've no time for such hypotheticals. It is my belief that you couldn't be so bad a man if you didn't have the machinery to be a good one.
Oh, that's Christian charity, is it? Not overly generous.
That's Christian truth.
And isn't it Christian truth that any man can be redeemed? So if I'd had your influence, your friendship, McKellar, when I was a growing lad...
But the simple truth is, we're here. We're now.
Ah, so we are. And so is the bottle. Have another.
Meetings in the past that didn't happen are immaterial.
Past falls of the coin. It was a fall of the coin, McKellar, that cost me my title, my fortune, and my wife. Now my brother has all three. The brother you adhere to.
That brother is a good and suffering man, and you destroy him.
Is that what you think I'd do?
Isn't it?
No! There's more to me and to my brother than even you know. All I want is that he and I face the truth squarely.
You don't want money?
Oh. That too, certainly. But you say he's a good man. Isn't it a sin to evade the truth? Yet he'd cross an ocean to escape it.
You do harp on the truth. And you know what they say that is. The truth is what is in men's hearts. We could put it to the test. No hypotheticals. You could come with me to New York and witness our reunion.
Yeah, that's a reunion I hope I never...
You say nothing, but you give all away. New York it is. I have enough put by to pay my own passage. Can you manage your own? You will come with me. I swear to God I would value your company.
This will bring only evil. This is an ill-omened journey.
You take to prophecy. Then so do I. Listen to the night. Do you know what that bodes, my evangelical warlock? That means there'll be a man, McKellar, terrible sick at sea.
I won't say it was a lie, more of a twisted truth.
You didn't murder Dutton when he was going down in quicksand?
Oh, I killed him right enough, but was it murder?
The rolling of that old and leaking ship was outrageous. I was clinging both hands tightly to the grating of a cabin skylight.
Where's the difference?
Oh, there are double words for everything. Piety, cowardice, love, lust, murder, mercy.
He sat on the very edge of the tilting deck, with one knee flung across the other, arms folded, fitting the swing of the ship with an exquisite balance.
He was going down, you see. There was no way to bring him out.
I could measure our danger by the master, falling and rising dark against the sun.
Francis would have left him there, let him drown slowly in that muck.
Now he was in the zenith, the shadow far beyond the ship.
A monstrous death.
Now down underneath my feet, the line of the sea high above him.
So I finished him, got it over with, quick. Anyway, he was a violent, butchering pirate, one of the worst. But I couldn't see even him sink into that.
Looking down from the sky on me.
Now, was that murder?
Smiling up at me from far below.
This ship is as rotten as a cheese. Will she founder, do you think?
Could almost pray she would.
An extreme cure for your sickness. Or would you like the fish to sport among my ribs, huh? To save my brother facing the truth of me?
Truth again.
I wish I could reveal his to you. My brother's truth. His weakness, hypocrisy, corruption, and hers.
Hers?
She who played the Jacobite wench and then the gracious lady. Double words again, you see, lady, wench.
Would you insult her again?
Again?
Looking up at me from the depths, smiling from high above me. Now down below again. And I lunged.
Down! Oh, you'll never shine as an assassin, my friend. Now you have all the guilt and none of the profit. And remember this. Thou sayest it, not I, McKellar, thou. The truth is in men's hearts, and that truth was in your heart all along, just as it is in my brother's. He knew all along. His son is mine.
Then he confronted his brother in New York and was rejected. The brother arranged for him to be led into the Adirondack wilderness to find his treasure and then be murdered, but he died of fever first. Most of the rest of his party were killed by the Iroquois. A savage winter's tale indeed, Mr. McKellen. Will you return to Scotland?
I'll continue to serve the family. My lady will have me.
My report. It will be discreet, and very few will see it.
Thank you. It was a lie, you know. What he said about my lord's son?
I'm sure you're right, Mr. McKellar.
Gross and absurd. And that's the last confession.
Confession?
I said I had more to confess, and that's it. That I believed him. I remember I watched him rising and falling on that ship. I was like a bird fixed by the eyes of a snake. He asked me what he might have been if we'd met when we were young. What might I have been?
What you are. A loyal servant, a good Christian.
A Christian spellbound by the devil.
He was no devil, Mr. McKellar. He died of a fever, like any mortal man.
I don't believe he did.
There were no marks of violence on him.
What I do believe is this, that he and Secundra Dass simulated the death. James was buried alive.
Oh, Mr. McKellar.
Their plan was that later, when those who threatened them had been disposed of, the Indian would return and revive his master.
That's monstrous.
Such skills are claimed by certain pagans. I've read accounts of them. Fakirs, I think they're called.
Ridiculous. Monstrous.
You're laughing in the hell.
What caused his brother's heart to fail?
What he'd suffered. And guilt, perhaps.
I felt the hilt ringing in your breastbone.
And unnatural excitement.
Unnatural, yes. His heart failed at what he saw. You saw Secundra Dass try to revive the master?
I did. Pagan madness.
And you saw the hair on his face?
What?
Well, he was smooth-faced when they buried him a week ago, so Mountain said.
And he's a liar and a fool. Anyway, they say the hair can grow on the dead.
Dead. Time and again.
And what else did you see?
Do you see, McKellar? Do you?
I know what I saw. This mortal man whose corpse I touched 7 years ago, I saw his complexion alter. Didn't you see that?
No, Mr. McKellar. And neither did you.
The eyelids. See?
And his eyelids moved?
No.
They move again.
Then a week old corpse looked me in the face.
No.
Yes. Do you see it, McKellar?
God save us.
He's never dead. Never. Time and again. Are you, Jimmy?
Come away, son.
Please laugh at me in hell. And I'll follow you there. Where you are, there I'll be. I'll follow you, Jimmy. Jimmy!
Mr. Henry.
Oh, no. Dear God, no.
This is what I've written. This is what you must carve. J.D., heir to a Scottish title, a master of the arts and graces admired in Europe, Asia, and America, in war and peace, in the tents of savage hunters, and the citadels of kings. After so much acquired, accomplished, and endured, lies here forgotten. H.D., his brother, after a life of unmerited distress, bravely supported, died almost in the same hour, and sleeps in the same grave with his fraternal enemy. The piety of his wife and one old servant raised this stone to both.
In The Master of Ballantrae by Robert Louis Stevenson, James Dury was played by Jimmy Chisholm, Henry Dury by Alistair McCrone, and McKellar by Robert Patterson. Alison was played by Louise Beattie, Lord Darris Deer by David McHale, Sir William Johnson by Crawford Logan, Francis Burke by Robin Peebles, Jesse Brown and the Woman on the Pirate Ship by Maureen Carr, McConaughey and Dutton by Ian Agnew, and John Paul and Teach by Charles Kearney. The Master of Ballantrae was dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest, and directed in our Edinburgh studios by Patrick Rayner.